The next topic is human trafficking, and I'm going to present on this. I am far from being an expert in the topic, but lots of twists and turns came about, and so you're stuck with me. But I think it's a very necessary topic to talk about. In the past, we at Lutherans for Life really haven't come out with any statements or any materials on it because, as Dr. Lamb would point out, who's for it? You know, when you talk about embryo adoption or end of life or adoption or all these other things, there are arguments that people have on different sides of the issue. But, you know, other than the human traffickers, there really aren't people who are in favor of this. And so the problem comes in that we aren't informed about it and we aren't aware of it. And so I'm trying to make you aware of what's going on through this process today now. So let's dive into this topic. The International Human Trafficking Institute in 2012 put together this map of the scope of the numbers that we're talking about. So in what we would consider like first world countries, United States, Europe, Australia, 1.5 million cases of human trafficking took place during that year, during 2012. Yes, sir.
Can you give us a working definition?
Of human trafficking? It would be, let's work through that.
Okay.
I think that would be, because you'll see as we go through what it means. So 1.5 million in those regions, in this sort of lavender area, so we have Mexico and Central America, South America, 1.8 million people were involved in human trafficking. Then we jump up an order of magnitude when we get to Southeast Asia, 11.7 million reported incidents or of human trafficking in 2012. So, and as we go through this, you'll maybe understand a little bit more of what leads into that and what this all means. So breaking that down by the type of individuals that are involved or the type of service to which these children usually are enslaved. Forced labor consists of 68% of the total in 2012, so that's 14.2 million children generally who are involved in human trafficking, who are forced into forced labor. 22% into forced sexual exploitation, and 10% then into state-imposed forced labor. So generally in the communist countries, the children will be forced into labor at an early age there. As far as profit, and what does this mean bottom line, what's the benefit to the human traffickers? 66% of the profit, or $99 billion, was derived from sexual exploitation of the children who were trafficked. 28.7% for forced labor exploitation. So $43.2 billion was the profit that was derived from these children. And then 5.3% for state-imposed labor. So a total of $150 billion in that one year was derived from human trafficking. Yes, Ron?
These have to be just estimates all along. Do you think they're within a range or a high end or a low end? Or
how do they come up with those numbers?
Like 99 billion out of 100 billion.
Right. The question was, how do we know how accurate these estimates are? Because there aren't accountants who go around and ask the human traffickers how much money they got from this. So no, they are estimates, and I don't know what they based that upon. Then we take international. Throughout this presentation, I'm going to start big. So we started with international, and now we're going to narrow down to a national scope. So this is the United States in the year 2015. The National Human Trafficking Resource Center in 2015 received almost 22,000 calls related to human trafficking. Of those 22,000 calls, 5,544 of them were actual cases of human trafficking that they investigated and that they have more detailed information about. From that, the gender involved, so 4,683 of the 5,544, so almost 4,700 of them were female. 574 were male, and then they had 47 which were considered gender minorities. So those would be other, as Facebook would maybe call them, or whatever. But right, yes, transgender or, yep. So that's gender. Age, this shocked me. 3,559 were adults. So this is not just children who are being trafficked. So almost 3,600, well over half, were adults. And then 1,621 were minors, were children. Citizenship, 1,660 of them were U.S. citizens. And then 1,000 of them were foreign nationals. That does not add up to 5,544. So the others are just not reported. Moving on, the type of trafficking. And so, you know, the stereotype is that these children or adults go into sex work. You know, that seems to be the stereotype. And that holds true in the United States. But as we saw in that international slide, the vast majority of the children are going into forced labor rather than into sex trafficking. So in the United States, 4,000 of the 5,500 were being trafficked for sex. 721 of them were labor trafficking. 500 of them were just not specified. And then 178 were both sex and labor trafficking. Of those who were being trafficked for labor, 131 of them, the total was 721 that we're talking about. So 130 of them were for domestic work. So they are the housekeepers or the nannies or those kinds of workers. 75 agriculture, 68 were in traveling sales crews, 54 in restaurant and food service, and then 35 health and beauty services. And I'm not quite sure what.
Are you going to explain to us how you could have kidnap somebody to do your agricultural work and they don't escape? What the ramifications of traveling sales crews and any of these?
The question was, why, if they're enslaved and they're agricultural workers, why don't they just leave? Why don't they run away again?
Issues but with illegal aliens and things like that here too, though? That would be agricultural in a lot of cases.
Right. There would be there would certainly be children that that are undocumented citizens and so forth. Yes, illegal aliens. Right. So the comment was made, well, they don't have anywhere to go or any ability to go where because their documentation has been taken away. They don't have a way to make it on their own at that point. Mike, did you have a question?
I was going to say the same thing about illegal immigrants who.
All right.
I'll turn you in if you're.
Right. Yeah. There are the threats made, and the children are probably, thousands of miles away from home, Or even 50 miles away from home. And what are they going to do if their boss, their trafficker, is making threats against them or threats against their family? In the video that we're going to watch, there are threats made against the trafficked child's family, and so they're afraid for that too. Ron?
I also wonder if it couldn't be due to addictions and or criminal past problems.
Yep.
Where they have some kind of a control or hold over them that keeps them from running.
Right. Drug addiction and other things. That's coming up on a slide. We'll talk about that. Yes, that's another factor that plays into this. So in sex trafficking, so 4,136 cases of the 5,500 were related to sex trafficking. Commercial front brothels accounted for 426 of the people involved there. Hotel or motel-based sex trafficking is 400. Online ads where the venue is unknown counts for 353. Residential brothels, 233. And then street-based, you know, the stereotypical streetwalker is just over 200 of the people who were involved in sex trafficking or who had been trafficked for sex. By state, California is by far and away the largest state was involved, at least as reported by National Human Trafficking Resource Center. They had 979 reported cases. Texas was next, 433, and just on down the line. It's probably a bit of an eye chart for you to read in back, but at the far right here is 61, and then you could scroll back through all the states, but every state in the union has a reported case of human trafficking in this report from 2015. Yes?
I'm trying to find Minnesota really quickly because we've been told that it's a serious, serious problem because we have what's called the Minnesota connection with California. And maybe it's because California's, they're doing the reporting and
right.
There's a high amount of this happening in Minnesota.
They didn't, at least for the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, Minnesota didn't have over 61 reported cases. So they may have not been reported, or they may have been reported to a different agency. Yeah, or they could have been taken from California and just passing through Minnesota. So there are a lot of variables here. The next slide is like a heat sensing type of a map, and so the darker the color, the more common the problem, the more reported cases that there are, and so naturally the higher populated areas tend to have more cases. They also have a larger draw, at least for sex trafficking. For labor, it would tend to be more of the rural areas, but this gives you another way to look at just where is the problem. So why do we even have this problem? What's obviously the depravity of man, but why can't we do something about this? Well, it's actually a very low risk to the human traffickers for a few reasons. There's a lack of law enforcement training. The law enforcement agencies don't know that much about it or don't know the signs to be looking for. There's a low public awareness. You know, we certainly know just anecdotally that, yeah, okay, this is a problem, but what are you looking for? So we have a low public awareness of what's going on. Ineffective or unenforced laws. Lack of law enforcement investigation when they hear about a case, you know, because there will be multiple jurisdictions involved very quickly, probably. So how do they investigate that? Social blaming of victims. You know, there is, well, that girl shouldn't have dressed that way. You know, It's her own fault. Or, you know, the child, well, that was always a troubled child anyway, you know, so you blame the victim. There's a low risk, but there's also a very high profit potential for this, as we saw on that previous slide. There's a huge market globally for commercial sex, you know, of one sort or another. And then there's also associated with the labor trafficking. You have minimal production costs when you employ one of these children or adults who have been procured for labor. So, and this, the definition then from Shared Hope International, and I'm going to be using them quite a bit, you'll see why in a minute, but their definition, they say that sex trafficking, and we're kind of narrowing in, we started out at international, went to national, now we're kind of focusing on sex trafficking because that is the predominant problem in the United States. Sex trafficking occurs when a person is induced to perform a commercial sex act, and that can be exchanged for anything of value, including food, shelter, or money. So they're induced to perform a commercial sex act through the use of force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person induced to perform the act is under 18. So that's their working definition of what sex trafficking actually is. Some quick facts, 100,000 children exploited in prostitution each year, that's their best estimate. 12 to 14 is usually the age of first exploitation. Traffickers prey on the vulnerable youth, those with a history of abuse at home, the runaway or the homeless or what they call the throwaway children, those who are lonely or disconnected. Then misidentification of the victims. Most minor victims remain misidentified or unidentified because they're often mislabeled or charged with delinquent offenses. The common perceptions here of those who are involved are that they're prostitutes or sluts or they're promiscuous. So, you know, they deserved it, right? Or the perception is, well, they're gang members, or they're juvenile delinquents, or they're runaways or truants, or the perception is that they're always female, but they aren't always female. So in order to understand the issue, we have to understand the victims. They could be anybody's daughter, niece, cousin, friend, or neighbor. So, the some questions to think about. In the past week, have you been to a mall or a grocery store or a coffee shop? Would you be able to identify potential signs of recruitment if you saw them in action? And how aware are you of your surroundings? And how aware are your kids or grandkids of their surroundings? Recruitment and grooming. Look for changes in behavior. Absences from home or school, dress, attitude, signs of abuse. These are things that you need to be looking for. Changes in lifestyle. Do they all of a sudden have money available to them that they wouldn't have otherwise? Or material possessions. You heard about, you know, the $300 purse or the really nice dress or, you know, nice shoes. What 15-year-old girl wouldn't like to have all these things lavished on her and have someone pay attention to her like that? Changes in their peers, a new boyfriend or new friends, going to parties, getting involved with drugs or alcohol, signs of gang affiliation. Those are all things to be looking for. Then if you suspect trafficking, then report it to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And there are, well, just credit and the Shared Hope International. And then they also have, along with the DVD, there are different resources that they provide with, you know, questions for discussion and questions leading up to the video. And then you show the video, questions to talk about afterwards. And here are some of those. We could maybe take a little bit of time for discussion, unless you have general questions, but... You know, I think I'd like to throw it open for discussion here too. And these are some questions that they suggest to lead to kick off the discussion. So what stood out to you most from Brianna's story, from that girl? Yes, Mike.
I see that girl every day when I go to class. And it broke my heart that she's, I mean, that's just your typical teenage
right.
girl, you know, and falling for this older guy, and just once they're out of the home, it's just, you can't, you know, you can raise them and do your best, but it's just scary. The girls need to see this video. Every girl in the United States of America.
Yeah, Brianna doesn't look any different than, she's literally the girl next door, and or in the desk next to you, and you know, if you're a high school student. And yes, Barb.
She's actually the prime example of the best of our girls. Intelligent, beautiful, motivated, driven, goals, snuffed out like that because this guy said he cared for her. Just like that.
Helen?
I thought what was interesting is that the person who was getting the information from her was not the person who was actually ended up talking to her.
Right.
It's a network. They have their system.
Yep. Yeah, they work together, and as she talked about when she went to that house and all of this guy's friends were there, and you know, she thought it was just a get together, and here they were shopping. They were shopping for how much they were gonna pay for her. Lynette?
I want to point out it's not only men.
Right.
There are women who are involved, and they call them head bitches. And they will take them in. I mean, like if they have a doctor need or an emergency need, they will come in with them, and they will sit in with them and make sure that they don't talk.
Right.
There's, so women are involved as well.
Yeah. There are women traffickers as well as men. Right. Yep. So Lacey's story, just a little bit more on that. There's also a book available called Renting Lacey. And it is, Lacey was the one who actually got involved in prostitution. And that book is as just sorrowful and nasty as you might think it would be. But
what,
I don't know. And I'd probably have to read the book to find out how she got out. But what are some vulnerabilities or risk factors that you could that you remember from Chosen? I think we talked about a few of them, but Hank?
Where were her family? The whole thing never mentions the family group.
Well, she
her out by herself.
She did talk about how her family was involved. I'm sure they were worried to death of her wasn't.
This stuff doesn't happen in 10 hours. This takes a while to develop.
She lied through her teeth.
Yeah.
And had her friends cover for her.
I think
yeah.
you know when your kids are lying, do you?
I know.
They assume that.
Yes.
I think what's crucial as gospel motivated Lutherans for Light in all of this is kids feeling like I can't go back.
Right.
It is too shameful, and I think as a dad, I work incredibly hard with both of my girls to tell them there is never anything that you would do that would be so terrible that I would stop loving you and that wouldn't do it. And I have to demonstrate that. I work really hard that when I'm angry with them, to be angry in such a way that it doesn't push them away, that they understand that daddy's sad about this, but he loves you and we're going to figure it out. Because I don't want them to ever be in a place where they're like, I can't possibly go back and talk to my dad or my mom. I want them to always feel like, oh my goodness, at least I can go back home.
Right.
I think that's crucial.
Yeah. Yes, Seth.
It seems kind of strange to me, though, that this one, Lacey or whichever, was saying she'd get on the bus, then get there, leave for the day, come back on the bus. Where's the school in all this? Well, I mean, I would think you didn't report that you weren't going to be here. Where's the parents that they're telling them they weren't here?
Well,
and I know there are some parents who...
Right. Being married to a teacher, it's amazing how little parents interact with the school.
But the school doesn't contact the parents and say your kid wasn't here today?
I don't know.
It's required.
For a short period of time, too, she got away with it and didn't get reported.
Helen, did you have something for?
Oh, just that it brought up the point of how many families now are moms only. There is no dad in the picture. And how we need to, as we work with children, that we need to be aware of watching for those signs and trying to get a male presence, mentor in their life, that because that's why some of them are doing it. They don't get that love from a male, and they need that bonding also, and it's so easy when that happens.
Or to see the model of how a male is supposed to treat
a woman.
A woman, yeah.
But this is not what we're supposed to do.
Ron.
A lot of these traffickers are experts in assessing the vulnerabilities of the people involved, and they see what their needs are, and they strive to fulfill those needs. And sometimes they create almost those needs in them. But in following up the Charles's comment too, I think one of the best things we can do as parents, and most of us are beyond having kids this age, but is to teach our kids forgiveness. Not only that when they do wrong that we forgive them, but I always taught my children when I was wrong, I asked for their forgiveness. And the kids just recently did a wordable about each of our family members. And that's one of the things that really struck them, and they wrote some comments about how I taught them forgiveness through asking for their forgiveness when I was wrong.
Wow, that's great. Pastor Solomon, did you?
I relate to how overwhelming these stories are. There's no way we can make this problem go away by saying, well, you should be better parents, or you should be better teachers, or you should be better bus drivers. There's no way to make it go away, because the devil is older and wiser and more experienced and 25 steps ahead. I think a real solution is community, that we become brothers keepers, that we do that in our congregations, even when it's uncomfortable. You know, sometimes it's uncomfortable to ask, I've noticed your husband's not been in church with you for the last 6 weeks. It's uncomfortable. That's what Christians do. We have to care and put ourselves out there and run the risk. And sometimes, a lot of times, we are going to have to deal with the aftermath. Sometimes there's no prevention. And, you know, I gravitate to the story of Evan because I have boys. And so I want to raise my boys to be heroes like that, to recognize that the Christian thing to do in this situation is not only the responsibility of the parents or the girls, right? Hopefully we would teach them Christian spirit and courage and forgiveness, but it's also on the community. The Christian thing to do is to care for people that we see descending in these situations, and that includes the traffickers, you know, that we attempt to be their keepers as well and intervene when they're headed down that road. But sometimes you don't know till it's too late, and then you still act, you still care.